Get seated. I want to bring you Christian greetings in the name of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My name is Kenyanjui, and the other name which I was given by the church is Peter. I come from Thika. That's where my home is. And I want to take this opportunity to say thanks to the church for inviting me today to share the words of God with you. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He saved me when I was young, and I continue to cherish in his mercies and to believe that when he comes, I will be able to live with him forever. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we want to thank you for giving us an opportunity like this one to hear your word. We pray that you may speak through me to your people, so that, Lord, you may tell us what you want us to know and to hear. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The chapter that we have read of the book of Numbers, chapter verse 22 to 27, is very familiar to all of us, because in most cases, ministers always bless people with those words. But how often do we ever think or ask ourselves what the words mean to us? There's a tendency with the members of the church that when something happens, you just leave it there and then you go home. Today is a special day. A special day when the families have come together, and that's why this is a family service. And because of that, before we move on, I will ask all the members of the family to stay together, because we are going to do something immediately after the sermon. So if you are very far from your father or your mother or your whatever, please go near him or to him now. 3 minutes. If there is anybody who is not with a family, please. Please. Go near your parents and be with them. Thank you very much. 6 words of blessing to share with others. That is the theme of my sermon. 6 words of blessing to share with others. The first one is, may God bless you. May God bless you. That's a very common word. May God bless you. And it is a very common word in Kenya. Everybody is blessing the other person everywhere. May God bless you. And I don't know how many people say amen, but may God bless you. Numbers 6:24, the Hebrew word translated bless here meant to transfer prosperity primarily in the realm of the financial, physical, and material. So when you tell someone, bless you, God bless you, or may Yahweh bless you, you are saying, may he give you financial blessings, may he give you physical health, and even material things. The heart of the Father is that you would be blessed physically, financially, and materially. The idea here is for God to give you something. For God to give you something. He gives us stuff. He gives us money. He gives us power. He gives us positions. And he even gives us talents and abilities to do things. He does it because he loves you. Hallelujah. He does it because he loves you. If ye then, that Jesus speaking to the people, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good things and gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things to them that ask him? That is Matthew 7, verse 11. God will give to his people who ask, even if it is for someone else. That means that you can pray for someone else to be given something, and God will provide. It is not wrong to ask God to bless yourself. However, God uses me better and teaches me more about himself and how he loves me when I ask God to bless someone else. One as if you were. When you pray for someone else, God is so delighted and he is able to give what you have asked him to do. The second one is, may God protect you. May God protect you. That is Numbers 6:24 again. The priests were not only to say the Lord bless you, but also the Lord keep you. The Hebrew word translated keep means to guard. To guard. Why do we ask God first to bless us and then to keep or guard us? Because if he does give us material things, we need to be protected from the evil prosperity, the prosperity may bring. I like that. We all know people God has graciously and marvelously blessed. And yet sometimes those very blessings become dangerous and distractions for them. And that is why we say, may the Lord keep you. No longer are they standing the word like they once did. No longer are they engaged in the word, in the service like they once did. Therefore, it is the wise man who says, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord keep you, lest you get distracted from that which is internal significance. The third one is, may the Lord shine on you. May the Lord shine on you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you. God doesn't want to just bless and guard you. He also wants to shine on you. What does it mean for God to shine on you? God wants to reveal more about you. God makes his face shine. It reveals your sin. It also reveals your needs, your need for a savior. God wants to bless you. God wants to protect you. God wants to enlighten you, so that he can love you. He can love you. And the fourth word is, may God love you. May God love you and be gracious to you. God's grace is a form of God's love. As you look at Jesus Christ, As you learn of him and focus on him, you will discover what the crowds who gathered around him discovered. You will discover what the woman caught in adultery discovered. You will discover what the tax collectors discovered. You will discover what the prostitutes did and sinners discovered. You will discover his tender-hearted, compassionate grace. God shares his grace to you. He wants you to share that same grace with other people. It is called being grace, being a grace-first people. In the book, The Grace Outpouring, Becoming a People Who Bless, the authors, Roy Godwin and Dave Roberts, share this insight. Having a heart to bless will challenge the judgmental mind set that can color how we look at those we live among. We can become a grace-first people. We are still asking people to turn away from rebellion against God. We are asking people to put apart the revelation from the Father that his primary desire is to bless those he created in his image. One day we were having a seminar, and the pastor of our nearest church here said, "You know, I love the Presbyterian Church because they have given me many children who come to my church and they continue to keep this church growing." Okay, I felt good because we blessed them. Hallelujah. But what about ourselves? Do they come to bless us? Because if we bless them, they also ought to bless us. The fifth one is, may God smile on you. May God have a smile on you. May Yahweh look with you, with favor on you. When the Bible says that a person's countenance is downcast, it means that one is frowning. When the Bible says that a countenance is lifted up, may your countenance be lifted up, then it means that a person is smiling in this case. To lift up the countenance simply means to smile. Here the priests were saying to the people, may the Lord make you smile upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. May the Lord smile. May you also smile on other people. Quite often when we meet with people and they say hi, we just sometimes just pass. When we were in America, the Americans are a very funny character. They are very funny. When you meet with him and he knows you, you know him, he just does that. And then if you would run before him and look at the person who smiled at you, you'll be very surprised because he is not smiling. We are supposed to smile all the way. Jesus tells us to be happy, joyous. Everywhere we go, we must show our joy. Sometimes we are not even able to show joy to our children. Sometimes the children run away from us, not because we have not given food or clothing and whatever, but sometimes they look at us and they say, surely does my mother love me? Does my father love me? How often do we interact with our children? Zamani, when we were a bit young, now I'm growing old, I don't know. But when we were young, we used to go to a hut which was outside there, a small hut for the father, where the father would meet us. If not the father, the grandfather would meet us if the father is so busy, because even then there were some fathers who were very busy. And then they would guide us in what we are supposed to do. And they would tell us this and this is not right, and this is not. Sometimes we felt that they were too cruel. But later in life, you realize that what they were telling us is very true, because you start meeting obstacles and challenges in life, and you start saying, aha, I remember what my father told me. I remember. There is a story that has been going on in the internet about a young man. This young man had a father who was always advising him, instructing him. If the father found that he had not put off the lights, he would scold him and tell him, no, this is not right, because, you know, electricity, we pay bills for it. And the son would go away, put off the lights, and then go somewhere else. And then he would go, another day the father would meet him just pouring water, nothing is being done with the water. And the father would call him and tell him, no, son, this and this is not right. And so he continued challenging him and correcting him until he was now a grown-up person, and he was called in an interview. And the father told him, when you go to the interview, just do what you know and answer the questions you can be able to answer. So the son went, and just at the gate, there was some water which was pouring. And he looked and he said, why are they wasting water? So he put off the water, and then he went on. And then there were lights at the corridor. And he looked and said, why? And the windows are very many. There is a lot of light. And he put off the lights. And then there was something that was kept on the, just on the way. And when he got there, he removed it and kept it where it should be. And then he went on and on and doing all those things. And then he entered into the place where they were doing the interviews. And he was asked, young man, can you give us your name? He gave his name. Can you tell us when you are going to report to work? He said, I will report when you tell me to do so. And the person who was interviewing the man said, okay, you have passed. Can you tell us when you are coming? And he said, I will come tomorrow. And so the following day he was there. And then he went to the manager's office and asked him, what interview was I coming to do? And he said, you have passed the whole interview. By the way, we had cameras all the way. We wanted to see a person who is the responsible, and we have seen a responsible person. How often do we guide our children? Sometimes they do not even know. You know, they don't know life. They have not been able to. They only know what they have learned in school. They only know what the teachers have taught them and their peers. But we need to guide them. God wants us to smile to you, on you. He wants to bless you. He wants to guard you. And then he wants to smile on you, just as a parent smiles on their children because it brings them pleasure. God wants us to smile to them. He really wants to enjoy you. He wants to have a relationship with you that is based on joy and not fear. A happy parent who enjoys their children will be gracious to them. God enjoys us, and he wants to give us peace of mind, peace of everything. And the sixth one is, may God give you peace to you. And may God give you peace. These blessings are given by the ministers when they are putting their hands up. In the blessings of verse 24 to verse 26, we see the name of the Lord repeated three times. Three times it is repeated. In these three blessings, most of the fathers and earlier theologians saw an allusion to the ministry, to the mystery of Trinity. In this, there is a suggestion of the Trinity. For in verse 24, the reference is to God the Father. In verse 25, to God the Son. And in verse 26, to God the Holy Spirit. In verse 24, we see God the Father as the giver. In verse 25, we see God the Son as the revealer. And in verse 26, we see God the Holy Spirit as the soother. These three characteristics correspond to our needs. God is in Trinity, and in a sense, we are made in his image. We are as well for while God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are body, soul, and spirit. The body relates to the material, the realm wherein Father blesses us physically. The soul is the mind and the emotions, that which we think and feel. Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we have questions. Sometimes we are disturbed. That's where God the Son comes in. Any issue with which I'm wrestling, any struggle with which I am dealing with, ultimately find its answer in Jesus Christ. The Spirit is the deepest part of our being, the part of me that will live forever. And because the Spirit within me can lack peace, it's the Holy Spirit who inhabits my spirit, who indwells my spirit, who communes with me in the deepest part of my being and gives me peace. The Psalm recalls this blessing. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Look on us with favor, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation to all nations. Let the peoples praise the Lord. Let you praise God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy. For you judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, bless us. God, we bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Let's take a minute now to recite this blessing for ourselves. Now I want you to take time and share these priestly blessings with someone around you. The best way to bless someone is to practice it. One of my favorite stories of a family blessing and celebrations centers around a father-son combination like none I have ever heard before. In 1962, someone by the name Dick and Judy Hoyt gave birth to their son Rick. When Rick was born, the umbilical cord was caught around his neck, cutting off the air supplies to his brain. The Hoyts were told that Rick would be in a vegetative state for the rest of his life. Fortunately, they disagreed. Every time you are told something negative, say no. Hey, say no. Say after me, no. If I say something negative to you, say, reject it in the name of God the Father. They rejected it. Ricky grew and made amazing progress, eventually using a computer to communicate. 3 years later, he was admitted into a public school. A few years later, Rick told his dad that he wanted to participate in a 5-kilometer race for a local athlete who has been paralyzed in an accident. Dick agreed to push his wheelchair in the race. Since then, Rick and his dad, known as Team Hoyt, have completed about 900 events, including more than 60 marathons and 200 triathlons. So why does the father run, swim, and ride with his disabled son through all these events? Because the day they finished their first 5 kilometers, his son said through his computer, "Dad, when you were running, it felt like I wasn't disabled anymore." Hallelujah. How often do we care for those who are disadvantaged in our families? The blessings Moses taught Aaron and the priests captures the very essence of what it means for Israel to be the people of Yahweh, a source of blessings that makes God's gracious presence known to us. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the priests were blessing the people. In the New Testament, Peter tells us that we are all priests. Priests, we are supposed to bless our families. We have been telling this and we've been talking about this, telling men, hey, men, can you put up your hand if you are a man? We are telling you, men. We are telling you, you are the priests of your family. You are the priests of your families. You know, every time I go, when I visit people in the districts, sometimes I feel like I'm going to cry. Because you go to a place and the person praying is the lady of the house. Men are always very shy. They don't want to do it. Can you look at the other man near you and tell him, don't be shy? Tell him, don't be shy. It is known, it's a known fact that men are shy. All of us are shy. And even when you see me smile here when I'm preaching, it's because I am shy. I'm very shy. And everybody knows that I'm a very shy person. And then you ask, how did you become a minister if you are shy? It's the strength of God that uses me. Hallelujah. So men, St. Andrew's men, church men, pray in your homes. The Bible also tells us that all of us, the believers, are also priests. So even women, when I say men should pray, don't abandon your role in your home. When your husband is not praying, do not abandon the prayer. Pray because you are a priest. Tell that lady near you, you are a priest. You are not telling that lady near you, you are a priest. We want to see people who are priests. We want to be a prayer church. A church that prays is never defeated. A church that is always praying is never ever defeated. It continues to grow. And that's why we can say today, when I went to the ministry, we had only 9 presbyteries. Today we have 56 presbyteries. That is growth. Hallelujah. It's because you have been praying. Let us make it our role to play. And please, in the families, wherever you meet, read the word of God. Let one of the children maybe read the Bible. The other one prays today. The other one prays the other day. That's how you make your children to grow, to become Christians like us. This church grows in two ways. Through bearing children and through evangelization. Procreation and evangelization. So let us be an evangelical church, a church that preaches. Thank you and God bless you. Let us pray. O God, our heavenly Father, you have challenged us to be priests in our families, to be priests in our churches, to be priests even in the offices where we work. Help us, O Lord, to be able to bless others as you bless us. Help us to communicate our blessings to other people so that they may understand you and know you. And as they do that, we know you shall be blessing us even more. So we pray that you may help us and teach us what we are supposed to do, and we know that you are going to do it, because this is our prayer of faith, which we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.